I'd like to introduce our speaker today, Sally, who will be sharing her experience, strength, and hope on the topic of illusions, delusions, and misperceptions for 15 minutes. Take it away, Sally.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sally. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. I'm a chaos creator and a drama queen. Big drama queen. I think it goes with chaos creating. I've been in the 12-step rooms for over 40 years. And about a year and a half ago, I was brought to my knees with codependency and lack of emotional sobriety, and it scared me. It really, really frightened me. And I hit a bottom, and I reached out, and this person led me to BBA. And I desperately wanted to work through the steps because I didn't want to be in this pain that I was still in. I couldn't, I'm like, what's going on? I thought I was doing everything right. And yet I'm crazy. And so I'm so thankful for BBA and the extensive step process that it takes us through. I am nervous. This is my payback for Amy B because I'm always hitting her up to talk. So she's like, Sal, would you talk? I get very nervous when I talk. So I hope that God gives me the strength to just let go of those voices and just to be authentic in my share. So I wanted to read a little bit from the book. I picked the topic, illusions, delusions, and misperceptions, because I see that my self-inflicted pain is all because of my illusions, my delusions, my misperceptions, my illusions of how I think life should be. My misperceptions, because I have a mind that sees her world through being a victim and of self-doubt and self-hate, that I don't see the world as it really is, which is, and I don't experience God as God really is, as just a beloved. We live in a beloved world and we have a beloved God, but I don't want to see any of that. And I need help in seeing that. I just want to focus on what's still wrong with me. And that's my spiritual malady for today, that I still am having first step experiences where I really don't grasp the depth of God's love for me. But I'm in a workshop now, again, going through the work, and God is showing me once again, like, you know, you go to do this work. I thought I was going to be fine. You know, I'm absent in the food, but I'm doing the food workshop. I'm going to breeze through it. No, God's taken every opportunity to show me my shit. And so I just want to read once again. I didn't know you guys read more about alcoholism thing, but I want to read the part in the book that we transcribe more about alcoholism, about me. It's just partway down on page 30. The idea that somehow I will control and enjoy my chaos creating, my being in charge, my bossing everyone around, and thinking that I have the answers to make everyone else happy is a great obsession of mine. And I have pursued this illusion into the gates of insanity, and it can kill me. I'm learning that I have to fully concede to my innermost self that I am a chaos creator, a codependent. This is my first step in recovery. The delusion that I am like other people or ever will be, even now when I'm abstinent, has to be smashed. I'm an addict, and I've lost the ability to control my thinking. I know that no chaos creator, codependent will ever recover that choice. Sometimes I still think I can, but in such intervals, usually brief, it's inevitably followed by still less choice, which led to, in time, to pitiful and incomprehensible moralization, doing the same thing I would said that I would never do. And I just want to share a first step experience I had with you guys this past week. I work in a nursing home, and the nursing home is a setup for we codependents. I mean, there's so much need. It's like you walk around, there's like all these little hungry mouths, you know, that just love me, fix me. And so I've As a chaos creator, I've made myself indispensable in the job and highly requested in what I do. So I was away for the whole winter. And so I felt guilty about that. And I was went back to work, and I was going to make up for lost time. And so I jumped in and I agreed to do things that I didn't need to do. And what I was met with was things weren't going my way. I brought this musical group in to sing, and they were needing from me, and the residents were needing from me, and the staff was needing from me. And so what I perceived was disapproval, 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 disapproval. And I watched myself spiral, spiral, spiral down into a shame spiral and a self-condemnation spiral that took me out for days. I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but when I go into that spiral of self-hate and shame, the adrenaline that comes up in my body takes over. And it's almost as bad as the food sometimes has been. It's been a while since I've gone there with the food, but the emotional binging and how I'm seeing that I'm powerless over it, and how long it takes me to get out of that place of pain. I mean, it'll be a week tomorrow that this happened. And of course, I'm getting all these aha, 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 aha. See, Sally, because I'm in the fourth step. So I'm seeing how I set myself up for this, you know. So I have the belief system that I'm indispensable at work. And that, but I'm really worthless, so I have to make myself indispensable. I have to put more energy than anyone else to run the show, to get positive looks at me. I used to be in theater, and I remember being in a show, and if there's 150 people in the audience, I notice the two that are on their phone. And I can't even think about the words that are coming out of my mouth as I'm performing on the stage. I'm thinking, what can I do to get those people to get off their phone? They're on their phone because I'm not important enough. And that's the grandiosity. It's the self-centered fear. And you guys, it scared me how it robbed me of days. I couldn't get out of myself. And so I'm thankful for it, but I'm also very afraid because I don't want to ever go back there. And so my friend reminded me, and he's right. This is coming up. I have to trust. I did a third step. God, this is coming up for me to look at and dissect and look at my part. And I never knew how much I was still trying to run the show. I thought, I've been in program for all these years. I'm going to sponsor you. I'm going to tell you how to do it. You're going to follow my method. And if you don't follow my method, of course, I'm going to get mad. And I do that with the people I work with. I do that with my family. I do that with my nieces. And my motivation underneath it is usually I want you to like me, but I cannot stand to see people I care about in pain. I can't. I'm Savior Sally. My sisters used to say to me when I'd go back to visit the family, you ride in on your white horse and you dump your sprinkle dust with your sense of humor and your fun and the play, and then you leave. And because I thought I had to show up and be that I have to be more than I am in order to be loved. I have that expectation on myself, but I project that. I want to get that from everybody. I want to get that from every square that I'm looking at right now, because if one of you looks at me and I perceive a rolling of the eyes or a distaste, I will spiral down. And a lot of this is my childhood. Growing up in a family that was extremely rule-oriented and shamed-based, and I was not what they expected. I was this wild child with a ton of creativity and a mind of my own, and I scared the crap out of them. So they did what they could to try to control me because I scared them. And I still, after all these years, see, once again, I see myself as that bratty little kid. And that is a misperception. I have to go back to the fact, the truth that I have, that my power, number one, my higher power has had me since conception. I can see God has worked in my life. Every binge I had, every drug I took, he had me. And I am thankful for my bottom that I finally reached out and said, help me. But for so long, I didn't believe that God cared about my job, my relationships. He took my food and my drugs and alcohol, but I got to run everything else. And I am being shown that on my power and on my ideas, my perceptions, my delusions, my illusions of how I think life should be, I create chaos in my life and it enters my body and it robs me of precious moments where I could be walking around and being a light because I don't believe that I'm this beautiful, worthy, loving child of God doing the best she can with what's in front of her and that I have value. That I put my value in what you think of me, my weight, how I look, what I do, how I sound. And you guys, all of this came up from this one situation just the other day. I got to see how it kicked me in the butt and how I desperately need to lean on God. I don't have the power to not do this stuff. It's like I don't have the power not to pick up the food. I don't have the power not to pick up that thought that's going to lead me down that into that toilet, that cesspool of self-hate and disgust, which my God has nothing to do with that. That's all me. That's all my disillusion, my misperceptions, and saying and throwing myself into literature and two-way prayer where I'm constantly hearing that I'm precious just the way I am. That I'm not perfect, but I'm precious, and that my identity has to come from God and seeing God as a loving God and no longer feeling like I've got to get in there and protect those that I love from life. I want to protect 60 residents from being old, feeling the pain of being old, feeling the pain of being lonely, feeling the pain of being scared. I want to fix them all. And that's not my job. It is, they have to go through that. It's end of life. They have to go through the pains of life. I can't rescue them from that. And so, that's all I have to say. I like to end with a song. This is a funny song. I want to do a funny song because when I hear songs like this, it reminds me that I'm not alone. And I know you guys can relate to some of the things I'm saying, and that I don't think I could share this honestly in my regular meetings. I don't know, but I feel safe here and I need to be authentic here. So this is a song I heard. I was a musical director at a Unity church for many years, and I got exposed to this fabulous music. And it's all about recovery, you guys, because I'm a drama queen. I take myself way too seriously. I think I'm way too important. It's my job to make everybody happy. So, this is a song called I Have a Tendency for Codependency. I have a tendency for codependency, and I'd sure like to make you mine. I know we'd have it made if you do things my way, if you would only stay in line and live up to all my expectations. Never disappoint me at all. We could live forever in a dream world. So climb upon my pedestal and baby, don't you fall. 'Cause I love you, hate you, need you. I love you, hate you, need you. I love you, hate you, need you. Leave me alone. I have a tendency For codependency, nothing is too great a task. Whatever's wrong with you, I'll fix and I'll make brand new if you do everything I ask and live up to all my expectations. Be here before I even call. We could live forever in a dream world. So climb upon this pedestal and baby, don't you fall. 'Cause I love you, hate you, need you. I love you, hate you, need you. I love you, hate you, need you. Leave me alone. 'Cause I love you, hate you, need you. I'd do anything to please you. I love you, hate you, leave. I love you, hate you, need you. Leave me alone. So that was just to add a little bit of humor to this path we're on, because there's a lot of humor.
That was
And
great.
that's all I got. So thank you.
Thank
Thank you,
you, Sally.
Sally.
Wow.
Thank you, Sally.